winter weather. It impacts your business. Roads are closed, salt everywhere, canceled flights, sick days. Let's be prepared. Let's use GoToMeeting with HD Faces, brought to you by Citrix. Meet and collaborate online no matter what the weather is. Just sign up for GoToMeeting on your computer or your mobile device. Launch your first meeting in seconds. Share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, projects, and do it in real time. Turn on your webcam and see each other face-to-face and try it out for free. 30 days, a 30-day free trial. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam. That's GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. Hey, Chickpeas, Ace Man here. Before we get started, I want to thank you for sharing this product with a friend. Honestly, the only reason we're here and the lights are on and we've been going strong for over 4 years now is because of you and you telling a friend, a loved one, and or a coworker. So thank you so much in advance and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from the Book of Mormon, stars David Larson and Cody James, plus Allison Rosen on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and a spirited round of Mr. Brightside. And now, he wrote the Book of Mormangria, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for clicking through, and thanks for all the support. And so many other things. Good to see you, Allison Rosen.
Really bad cramps, and I'm drowning in my own phlegm.
Oh,
hi.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Shit, I could... hey, Bald Brian.
Brian.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Brian.
Ah! So I'm having the same problem as Allison.
I just thought about myself, and I thought, what the fuck? What if I got cramps? What if I had a period? I mean, I got up this morning, like, I had to work, like, my third Sunday in a row, and then I was, like, last weekend, we were doing a show in Long Beach, and then I had to do this fucking contractor show on Sunday, and I was in, you know, I got to be in Whittier tomorrow at 7:15.
I get to be in Whittier tomorrow
at 7:15. And I just thought, I woke up this morning just like, fuck, I'm so fucking tired of driving. I'm so tired of working on the weekends. And then as you brought up the cramps part, I just thought, what if I got a period? Jesus
Christ.
What
a complaining multiplier that would be.
Oh, my God. Putting two zeros in a magnifying glass. No. The two zeros would be shaped like the magnifying glass.
Whoa.
I'd have to explain it to almost everybody, but it'd still be powerful once I was done explaining it to them, how it magnified my negative mood.
But it's not just that. You'd be having to think, how long does it take to get to Whittier? Will one tampon take me the whole way? Do I have to wear a pad? Am I going to have to make a stop? It's a lot of logistics.
Right. No, absolutely. My headphones still sound weird, Dawson, but I guess we'll straighten that. Give me a little more gain, would you, brother?
You got it.
Thank you.
Well, you're mainlining gain now.
Yeah,
you
baby.
Got to fix the gain.
All right. So many things to talk about. Buffalo, Irvine, Vegas, doing some live shows. Me doing a little show in Detroit. Got that coming up. Buffalo's coming up Saturday, February 1st. We'll do the live podcast. Me signing some Mangria bottles, Seattle, Royal Oak, Lincoln Park in Illinois, Amherst, as Drew says it, and Las Vegas, all coming up. Go to the calendar, go to Corolla Drinks, go to amcorolla.com, see when the live shows are coming to a town near you. Usually there'll be some sort of Mangria signing that'll be coupled on to that because Mike August, after all, is making the schedule. Thank you for all the support on the crowdfunding thing, fighting the patent trolls, working on the script for the video. I have some ideas. I think I have a good idea. I've reached out to said celebrity, and we shall see if she is down with it or not. I'll try to keep it a surprise. So thanks for all the words of support and all that. Many things to get into. Hey, where's my Rolling Stones? I was I was sort of pre-annoyed today. And just give me the hits. And thank you. And I, Dawson will tell you which ones they are. I walked into the shop and the radio was playing. And it was just, you know, local rock, KLOS, you know, just rock station. And it was one of the Rolling Stones covers, like, you know, like Dancing in the Streets with Mick Jagger. And I don't know if that's David Bowie or not, but it wasn't that song.
Oh,
it wasn't that song. So it was worse than that song. And I thought, the Stones. That's a good point. It's a good point.
Was an outtake of that song?
It doesn't seem like it could get worse. And then I realized, oh, no, the Stones have covered, or Mick Jagger has covered, a couple of, like, Motowny-esque songs that were just fucking horrifically bad. So I told Gary, and he just gave me a list of 128 songs, but I told him, keep it to the hits. Dawson will lean over and help out, and we'll figure this out. But it popped in my head and then popped out of my head, and I just wrote down Stone. So I had to give a little homework to Gary over there.
What percentage of the time do you not know what your note refers to, or do you always know what your notes to yourself refer to?
Yeah, you never have to do good songs. Go into a go-go, I think, is what it was. Yeah. It was
So Mick Jagger covered "Going to a Go-Go," or the Stones, or one of the two.
Yeah,
yeah, they did.
Pretty.
Oh my!
I forgot. I like Smokey Robinson a lot. I think "Tears of a Clown" is one of the best R&B songs. It's just one of the best songs ever. It's just a great song. The lyrics are great. It's short, sweet, to the point. It's got like a hook. It explains it. It's just one of the greatest pop songs ever, but "Going to a Go-Go" is a endless circle of shit. And it should just be called "Going to a Go-Go-Go-Go Fuck Yourself." Like, it's just a shit song. And even when Smokey Robinson did it, it sucked in 19... The only part it had was the part in almost every 60 song where they just go... I said, yeah, and then like the horns would kick in, but it's kind of a cop-out just having a wall of sound like kick in the middle of your shitty song and kick it up a notch.
Is it a live song? Because I can only find the live version.
No.
There's a studio version of this? Ooh.
No, everything on YouTube or everything on whatever, Sound Hamster or whatever they got out there, it's all fucking live. It's all the live version, which always drives me.
I got to get on Sound Hamster.
You got to get on Sound Hamster. It always drives me nuts. We run into this every single time you look up a song. So if I'll never want the live version, or I'll say it's a live
every
version.
Once in a while, the live is the definitive version that, you know, of, you know, the
Chick. Yeah, if your name's Peter Frampton.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
That's right. And when I want Pat Travers, boom, boom, out goes the lights. Yeah, Dawson, that was for you, baby. Then, and only then, I will ask for the live version, because that is... one of the best live licks ever. All right, he's going to find that. I'm going to share with you a tweet. You guys tweet me stuff, and I do appreciate it. And I have to say that, you know, whenever somebody, I never want to jump in and correct these people, but when you bring this up with a comedian or somebody else who has a podcast or is being heard, they go, "Yeah, it's tough," you know, because all the hate. A lot of haters out there, but you can't listen to them. You cut through all the hate, and those bad tweets and negative ones, the ones attacking your wife and your genital size and your children and things like that. And then you get to the couple
of... wife's genital size?
Yes. A couple of positive nuggets in there, but you have to go mining for them. And I'm always thinking to myself, I almost get no bad... I literally one in every... 150 tweets I get has some negativity to it. Really, everything else is just super positive. But I don't want to say that to the person that goes, you know what it's like. A lot of haters, a lot of angry people out there hiding behind their computer, venting on you.
This is fascinating to me, though, because I get a lot of hate.
Yes.
Now, there's an argument that vaginas correlate to hate. Ooh, that rhymes. I think. But I think... I would also argue that I say far fewer polarizing things.
Well,
is it because you come across as kind of strong and dominant and people don't want to take you on?
No. I don't there's two things. One is I say to Lynette, when she goes, why do you have to win every argument? I go, well, it helped. I'm right. I don't argue unless I'm right. So you have to be right. If you're not right, you're going to get fucked all the time. I do believe. I mean, you're still going to get people who argue with you, as Paul Bryan will attest to.
But, I don't know about that.
But I think he's doing it now. But your batting average goes way up if you're right about most. Like, don't argue about shit that you're not right about. I know everyone thinks they're right about everything, but also people still just argue about shit on one side or the other anyway. But the people that listen to the show agree with me, and thus they listen to the show.
Right. I'm surprised you don't get hate from people who don't listen to the show.
Ooh, it occasionally gets to them. But
in the form of articles.
Right. For the people who just listen to the show, they wouldn't listen to the show if they didn't agree to the show. So I guess
right,
it's sort of
sense.
Like if you're going to a, you know, if I took my mom to a Limp Bizkit concert, she'd be pissed. Right?
Yeah.
But my mom would be stupid if she looked around at the 8,000 people or now 800 people and said, why aren't these people as pissed as I am and holding their ears? And the answer would be, well, they're fans. They bought tickets and they're here. So there's still a subgroup in that group that might not think this is a particularly good Limp Bizkit effort. You see what it's hard to say
Fred
that.
Durst didn't give
right.
it his all.
Yeah, that was not 100% from
They're
Freddie
not
and the rest of
in
the guys.
Agreeance. No, that makes sense. The majority of people tweeting you are people who listen to the show and they're fans. They're not going to send you shitty things, the vast majority of them.
Yeah, and also
Fred Durst did a wonderful job with my script.
They're fans, and then they appreciate we're talking about the patent trolls or whatever it is, and they're like, we're behind you. I mean, Brian, you'll find out, and hopefully you won't, but you start writing some shitty books, and you start doing some
way ahead of you, boss.
Live podcasts where you just kind of pull up a chair and drink a beer and mail it in, and you do an independent film where you kind of sleepwalk through it, and you will start getting people saying, you have to kind of burn some calories, hang out after the show, sign some autographs, snub people, and then you will start getting that. You know, go have 400 people line up at Portland to buy bottles of Mangria and cut the line off 100 people in and go, I'm tired, I got to do two shows tonight, and leave. Then
people didn't appreciate that?
No, we didn't do that.
Oh.
That's the point. Do it, you'll get the tweets. Hmm. Hang out till every person is done and then haul ass to the theater to make it there just when the first show's starting, and you'll get a thanks for hanging out for. So it's not you can still get some shitty tweets, but you can earn your shitty tweets too. Like I said, have people wait in line for 2 hours and then cut it off 10 people before they get to you and go, I got to get to the show because I got to take a nap before I do the show, or otherwise I'm not myself. You'll get a shitty tweet from the people who you didn't sign the bottle for. All right. Do you have that? The world's shittiest song?
Hey,
or
boss,
see if we can find it. Yeah.
Here's something very, very interesting that I think the Rolling Stones probably are feeling exactly like you.
I'm
the only version available of this song is live.
Oh, really?
Even on iTunes. The single is no longer out there.
Wow.
Oh, but it was a single. I mean,
it was
hear it on the radio.
It was a full-on produced, recorded studio single. Yes.
I heard the single version on KLOS in 2014 this afternoon, and I just thought, why are we being punished? Like, are people calling the station and requesting? Like, you can turn it up. This is the part that makes it acceptable. Dun, dun.
Take him to the bridge.
What? If you're the Rolling Stones, I say this, but I say the same thing about Adam Sandler movies. Why? Why? Do you hear this song and go, oh, yes. Oh, that must be covered.
And then do you think, and you know what would make it really good if I go like this after I do the line? Gah.
Gah. And you know what we need? We need a super long generic sax solo in the middle of it that could be attached to any song that came out in the last 40 years.
They have so many hits. Why play this?
It's such a piece of shit. Again, well, all right, find the Smokey Robinson version of it. There's no human being that listens to this song and goes... The only thing that saves this song is Smokey's voice. Mick has no chops. So let's do a slower, shittier song that's, you know, comatose ether rag version of this song with a guy who has fucking zero chops in the voice department.
I think you're underselling Mick Jagger a little bit, but compared to Smokey Robinson, you're underselling.
He doesn't have zero chops. Yeah, it's like 0 to 10. He's stylistic.
In the low double digits.
He's not going to save this song by any stretch. If fucking Luther Vandross could not save this song. It's a piece of shit. Why? What the fuck is... all right, you can stop it there. But it makes you... It's that thing where it's like Jane Fonda. Oh, she takes a 25-year hiatus from acting and then comes back to do Monster in Law. Why?
Well, even you can get even closer. It's when fucking Michael Damian covered David Essex's Rock On. Why the fuck did that happen?
Why? Let me say this. Why? We can get to Lenny Kravitz and American Woman. I mean, the list goes on and on. It almost seems like these people were put here to fucking annoy me. Like, they took my... In terms of songs being covered, I feel like they took songs that I specifically went, well, I never have to hear that piece of shit again. Oh, yes, you do. Because 20 years later, some asshole is going to remake it. And the only thing that's going to sell this thing is familiarity. There's no way Rolling Stones going to a go-go, a fresh sheet of paper... Like Mick's just sitting on the corporate jet with the big lips and the tongue on it and goes, you know what? I'm going to pin a song called Going to a Go-Go like it would get played. It wouldn't get played. It's the, oh, you're right, David Essex.
And the Michael Damian cover of it is pretty much, he just basically took the same shit that David Essex took.
If anyone doesn't know Rock On by David Essex. It's,
Or Michael Damian.
It's one of those songs that is so bad.
You know it when you hear it.
That I've cleansed it. You play it, Brian. You look for it. I cleansed it from my brain because when I give a list of worst songs ever, this song is so brutally bad that I can't even go back and re-experience it.
Like it undermines the integrity of the list if you put it on because the other ones are good in comparison.
No, that would suggest that I would even let it enter my brittle.
It's
and
a no Rock On zone.
My mind, it protects itself by not letting David Essex come back into it. You know what I mean? It's like the people got into a horrible fiery car accident and then were raped by a fireman at the scene of the crime. And then they go,
sad when that happens.
But this is, it's not as bad. That's not as bad as this. But still, then they go, I have no memory. Like, I blacked out. Mm-hmm. Like, I woke up in the
too
hospital.
Traumatic. Too traumatic. Your body shuts down.
Shut down. I'm not going to remember this either. At what point did the session musicians just go, I can't. I'm sorry. I know this is a paid gig. I understand someone is going to pick up this bass guitar if I just throw it down and leave, but...
David, why are we hearing only one of us playing?
I have children. I'm a man of faith, and I just cannot do this. And just set like a guard setting his gun down at a concentration camp or something. Just going, I cannot go through with this.
You know your cocaine 80s being the best time?
Yeah.
This was when they first found cocaine.
It's really like the guy found a fucking Quaalude and a shot of Jaeger, right? There's nothing Coke about this, is there? This is a remake,
the Judgment.
Right?
Yeah. No, this is David Essex.
No, that's how bad this is. Hold on.
This is David Essex.
Oh, yeah.
This is the David Essex.
Yeah, this is the David Essex one.
But play the Michael Damian. It's exactly the same. Like, did we need two of these? No, we did not.
Is Michael Damian's career over?
Yeah, that was Michael Damian's career.
Could somebody find him? Is anyone knows Michael? What's that?
I believe he had a small guest turn on Facts of Life when they went to Miami. He played Flypaper. That was the name of his character, or something like that.
All right. Well, if anyone knows him, could they scream at him, "I'm glad your career's over," from Adam Carolla?
August just texted his book for tomorrow. There's more going on, that's for sure.
Yeah. I like looking at the face of Chris Maxipata during this shit because he knows music, he likes music, he plays music, and you're young. He had no fucking idea what was going on. But here's the thing that's insane. I didn't walk past a primered van that was up on cinder blocks and parked by the railroad tracks and hear this coming from a guy playing it on an acoustic guitar. I walked past a fucking radio in 2014 and heard Going to a Go-Go studio version, Rolling Stones, This Afternoon, played on KLO fucking S. What the fuck?
May I, for just 1 second?
People calling in going, we need to hear this?
I've been trying to tell every program director I've ever worked for that, guess what, bro? We all own Led Zeppelin 4, and none of us are racing home to play Stairway to Heaven.
Thank you.
They don't get it.
Well, no, what they do, it's all familiarity. I say it all the time. It's all audience testing, and it's all you hear the first two licks of Going to a Go-Go, they test. That's what the program directors do. They test, and the fucking stooges that are available on Wednesday at noon for $20 to test go, "Oh, I know this one. Oh, I know." They go, "Oh, I know this one." They start turning the knob to the right.
Macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, I know this one too. It's fucking brutal. It's like you going, "Oh, I remember that super, super mean, ugly, smelly chick from high school. Yeah, I remember her." Like, yeah, but you're not going to beat off, are you?
You're smelly, mean, and ugly?
Yeah, smelly and ugly.
And
from
mean.
High school and mean. But I'm saying
Any one of those things is bad enough alone.
I had a lot of shitty shop teachers. I remember Mr. Gage. He's a dick. I hope he's dead. I don't go like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, Mr. Gage and Mr. Saponzi, Mr. Hensley, oh, yeah, they were fucking..." No, they're assholes. I hope they're dead. They were fucking huge dicks. Mr. Martin and Mr. Oh, my God, I blocked some of these guys from my fucking brain. They hated the kids. They were assholes. And if the kids were a few years older, they would have beat the shit out of them. But it'd be nice if they weren't on this planet anymore. But I don't go, "Oh, yeah.
Do you have a soft spot in your heart?
Mr. Mallon from plastics class. Yeah, I love that." No, he was an asshole. He was a fucking cock.
Probably is a good idea you weren't valedictorian.
Fuck them. Yes, it would have been a great
your
speech.
Address would have been something to behold.
Oh, God. What the fuck is wrong with everybody? All right. I'll tell you what's right in this world. DraftKings, baby. Fantasy sports heating up. Boy, now what do we got? We got the Super Bowl coming up.
What are we going to do?
Well, I'll tell you what you can do. Pick other teams if you want. Sorry about your loss. That game.
Fresh wounds, man.
I got to say, that San Francisco game, I've had many games this way as a fan of the Rams or whoever, where you just go somewhere in the third quarter, you're like, "Oh, we're winning. Yeah. We're just going to win. I'm just used to winning." You've been walking around with a 9-point lead or something, or a 12-point lead or 11-point lead, but with tons of time, but you just decided, "We're winning."
Yep.
This is the way it's going to be. And then all of a sudden you sort of blink and you go, "What? We're losing."
And even with a 3-point deficit, you're like, "Oh, this is imminently attainable. We can certainly come back from this."
Oh, man. Anyway, a few weeks ago, James Tran from California won $1 million at DraftKings. One day fantasy sports means every day you got a shot to score for your share of 2 million DraftKings bucks, baby. 2 million bucks are given away. They awarded that this year. All right, Dawson.
DraftKings is letting our listeners play for free to win real cash. Enter Adam at DraftKings.com for a quick free shot at your share of that $200 million pot. Hurry, this amazing offer expires this Friday. For details and your free entry, enter Adam now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
I want to hear Going to a Go-Go by the Stones again.
That, in a nutshell, is you.
I marvel. If you went to karaoke and somebody started to sing the song,
I would say that's why I never go to karaoke, because I'm miserable now.
Would you throw a bottle at him or a chair?
I'd be confused. I think this is the first time I've ever heard this song. I'd be confused.
Oh, you've never heard the old or the new version?
I don't think so. And if it said on the screen, in the style of the Rolling Stones, I would be like,
this was a hit.
No, I don't know if I've ever heard this song.
This was played and overplayed. This is when
Stones
the Stones...
version?
Well, the first time it was played, it was overplayed. But
Yeah.
All right, where did...
I'm using the term hit in their terms.
Yeah.
It's not a...
Well, no, where was it? What did it do on the charts? And then what did Smokies do on the charts? Because Smokies, top 10, I don't think it was number one. And this charted. I don't know where, but pot it down a little. Again, it's like a super painful tooth. I have to keep flicking my tooth.
It's a bruise you keep.
Now I'm getting angry. Smokey, number 11. God damn it.
Outside the top 10.
Smokey went to number 11, and we'll find out where Mickey went. All right. Kid's mother's pregnant.
Mr.
Baby Day. Oh, yeah, sorry. Mr. Brightside, sorry. Mm-hmm.
Life got you down? Can't catch a break? Thinking about ending it all? Well, don't. Let Adam turn your frown upside down. It's time for Mr. Brightside.
All right. I'm in the mood to anger myself today. Going to a Go-Go 25. Well, I don't know if I said top 25, but it was up there. Mm. So 25. Did I say top 25?
Yeah, you said top 40. A hit's a hit. That's the range.
Fucking A. All right. Now, just because I want to gnaw through my own calf when I get home, I want to know John Hyatt's highest ranking song. And you can throw Graham Parker on there, too. If fucking Going to a Go-Go by the Stones beat out John and Graham. Now, I can't count Bonnie Raitt's version of A Little Thing Called Love. I gotta have John singing. Okay. All right. Where are we? His wife left him.
People are going to give you horrible, real scenarios in their life. You will tell them the bright side.
That is good pod, baby. I did not set it up.
We don't do this every time. So
that's true. No, you're right. You know, I'm laughing at fucking Dumbo Drew. You know what Dr. Drew does horrible?
This is not how the game is played.
Hold on a second. You know he does horrible radio and everything. He likes to, like, you know, just take his keys and, like, jingle them and do his stuff. He's also the guy, like I said, when the person...
He's not super mic aware.
No, but he's only been... All right, John Hyatt, number 8, Slow Turning. Good.
That's something.
All right. Any
Top
other
10.
Song? Past that, we can keep looking. Look for Graham too. So, we did our podcast the other whatever, and he had a guest, and it was one of these things where the guest and, you know, Drew's old, my old manager is Drew's current manager, so it's always a little, it's uncomfortable. It's like the old girlfriend coming along when you and the wife are going somewhere. It's got that element to it. I was in no mood, and he brought the guest on, and then he said, "Oh, and the attorney's coming on too." And I was like, "What? Who?" And then some guy was sitting there, and Drew sort of booked it, he didn't tell me, and everything. So every 55th show, we used to do it on Loveline too. I just kind of get pissed off and lean back and just go, "Let's let the guy split the money with 50-50. Let's let him do." Let him do the show. Just let him. And we were doing it. I think it hasn't aired yet. Who was a comedian, Gary? I can't remember. He'll tell me in a second.
Fred
anyway.
Stoller.
Yeah, Fred Stoller. That's right. Fred Stoller and his attorney were on. I didn't want Fred Stoller's attorney on the show.
Why was his attorney on?
I don't
know. They're a great double act.
It's just one of these things. And I didn't feel like... Anyway. So he's just sitting there in a suit, not saying anything. And I'm like, I'll let Drew do what Drew does. And at a certain point, 10 minutes into the show, after being silent the entire show, his attorney like leaned in and went, well, I've advised Fred to... And of course, anyone listening would not know who this person was because I didn't say, here's who's joining us on the show. And of course, Drew didn't either, because why would Drew do his fucking job for 10 seconds? And nothing, he just a voice came on 10 minutes into the show. It was not set up at all. As a matter of fact, find that thing, Gary, if that's humanly possible. The point is, I know you're doing a thousand things. The point is I,
poor Gary,
who was protesting the show,
yes,
said, fuck it, I'm not going to say who that is. And I didn't say who it was. And Drew, the co-host of the show, didn't say anything either. And then Fred Stoller's out of his mind said, that's my attorney. And I thought, Jesus Christ, Drew. It's fucking sad.
Bested by Fred Stoller.
I was going to say, the final safety net.
Fred, stand-up comedian, knew that he would need to explain to the listening audience who that voice was. Drew wasn't about to. All right. But that's right up there with the Sean Green wearing flip-flops, shorts, and a t-shirt. You know this guy? Jesus Christ.
Technically, he was right.
What's wrong with that guy? Technically, he was in the dugout when I played a Dodger celebrity game in 1997.
Drew have social anxiety a little bit?
He has something that makes him fuck up a lot, but I don't get it. But anyway.
You know better than us.
All right. Perfectly Good Guitar by John Hyatt, 47.
That's his highest?
No. Slow Turn, he had 8, and then his next highest, 47. So going to a go-go in between. Ugh.
All right, Mr. Brightside, let's help some people out.
This is my Who versus Rolling Stones argument. Who doesn't have a bunch of that shit? They don't have a bunch of the strikeouts, that factors into their batting average. All right, where the hell was Mike? Mike?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on? 34 Pittsburgh?
Yep.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, basically, I suspected my wife of cheating on me. I asked her about it, and she took the kids and disappeared. Couldn't get a hold of them for 10 days, so I filed for divorce and custody. And 3 days after that, I got hit with a custody suit, a child support suit, a spousal support suit, and a PFA.
Ironically, Mike doesn't own a suit, so he's going to buy one as I go to court. What do you do for a living, Mike?
I have two jobs. I'm a real estate agent, and I work with my family.
Ooh. Rich man, poor man. Real estate agent, fucking, that is rich man, poor man. Mm-hmm. That covers, you can cover a lot of ground with real estate agent.
I assumed working with your family was going to be the rich man, poor man.
That covers a ton of ground, too. And so if a guy says, I'm a real estate agent and I work with my family, that could mean kajillionaire or fucking not a spittoon to shit in. I may have screwed that one up a little, but you know what
I'm
saying.
Do that in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Mike?
Yeah.
How's the finances doing? Graham Parker, 39. Wake Up Next to You is a song from the 80s or whatever. 39. So it didn't make. Graham Parker did not get to going to a go-go
Barely
remake.
Edged onto the top 40.
Anyway. So, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you in love with your wife?
Was.
Mm-hmm. And when you say took the kids, does that mean she's taken off with the new dude?
I have no idea. I haven't been able to get a hold of her for 2 weeks.
But you were hit with a bunch of paperwork.
Yeah.
Mike, I always say this. If I were speaking to her, what would she tell me about you?
She probably say that I'm a great dad, and but she would
hung
she
like
would,
a paint nah, can. Nah, what nah. else is she, there to
she,
say?
She bitched that I didn't make enough money, so I went out and got a second job, and then I was gone too much, so there was a no-win situation. She was just always miserable about finances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Are you going to miss her, or are you going to miss the kids, or both?
The kids, her, not at all. The kids, I'm devastated because I haven't seen my son and my daughter in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think I can spin this one. You know, for me, I've been dumped, and I've dumped people in my life, and it's always devastating. I don't wish it upon anybody, but destroying someone's life, breaking their heart, to me, I just couldn't get over that. And if there was a woman in my life, and I didn't particularly like her, and she left, I'd be kind of happy about that. Like, I would be...
The net gain.
The alternative is you don't particularly like her, maybe not that attractive or whatever, and she's, you know, wildly in love with you, and she does one of those things where she goes, this time, next year, me and you, Maui. And you're thinking, fucking want to put a pistol in my mouth. So the part where you don't like her and she's gone, that's a good thing. The part where your kids are gone, that's a bad thing, but your kids will come back. I mean, the courts will see to that. Also, the way dads roll in life, sadly, I do believe the mom needs to be there every day. It's just that much more important to the kids. The dad needs to be there, but once you remove the providing part from that equation, so what the dad does traditionally, goes out and works all day, in this case, two jobs. You don't get to spend a ton of time with your kids when you work two jobs anyway. And then you become, on the weekends, you coach the soccer team or you take them to the whatever. And if you think about it, you can stay home, avoid the shrew of the wife who's cheating on you, and still be the weekend soccer coach with the kids. You just get the bitch out of the house. The kids are out too, but you're only seeing them on the weekend soccer coachy thing anyway because of your crazy work schedule, travel, whatever. So in a way, this is win-win. Mike?
Plus, think of the pity sex.
Yeah.
That's right. Think of the pity sex.
Well, I turned her favorite pair of slippers into a homemade fleshlight.
Sir Walter Raleigh of Pittsburgh.
Mike, you don't have to say homemade.
Yeah. Yeah. We know you didn't send it out.
Rubber glove and a little lube and a cup, and I was good to go.
Well, believe me, by the way, modern voodoo doll, like, my crotch. She's just sitting at lunch with her friend. Ooh.
Oh, my foot. It feels crunchy.
Fucking ass. My foot. My ass. Weird. Also, that'll learn her. Yeah. Like my grandpa did the same thing when his first wife moved back out. That was back in Hungary and turning. That was not in the mid-30s, but still.
They were wooden shoes.
Yeah. Men were tougher back
then.
That's
right. A lot of splinters, but it was worth it.
That's right. That's why those Europeans they go uncut.
The Dutch.
They got to deal with those shoes.
It's a protective barrier.
All right. So you got a new fuck buddy named Ugg.
Two of them, actually.
Well, one's just kind of on reserve. You can't play them both at the same time.
Right. Ladies,
you
know, are having a three-way.
First one blows out a heel or tears an ACL, you go to the bench. It's a very strong bench. next slipper up, as they say. And so you got a new fuck buddy named Ugg. The cheating bitch has moved out of the house, and you get to coach the kids on the weekend. And by the way, you'll be the hero. You'll always be the hero because the three kids will blame mom for what
you
did.
How old are the kids? I don't know if I'm asking that.
They're 4, 9, and they're 4, 6, and 9.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. How old are the kids, Mike?
5 and 1.
Oh, I thought there were three of them.
Yeah, two.
The three all together. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, three of them. 4, 6, and 9.
All right. Now, look, just in case, when you're fucking one slipper, do you supplement that with pornography, or is that gilding the lily, as you would say?
Well, I bust out the porn and, you know, do my thing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And...
Oh, so this is not a fetish. This is a receptacle. This is just a place to...
Yeah, I was wondering that too. Like, is he wearing the shoe on his penis or just coming into it? Sorry.
I'm
obviously, you got to break it in. I have a guy to break mine in. We make sure our cocks are sort of copacetic.
A cock double.
Yeah.
The interview process is rough.
Well, I use one of those gauges they use to check if the crab is the right size before they toss it in the bucket or throw it back.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Back in the ocean,
it's a little different. You know, to make sure we break it in the same way. I don't want them to hog it all out, and then I'm just bouncing around in the thing. Like one sock in a dryer. You know what I'm saying? I don't need that. We've all been through that. We're not going down that road
not
again.
Not never again. Not going through that nightmare again.
All right. Thanks, Mike. All right. Do we have me and Drew and Fred Stoller's clip?
I remember your act from back in the day.
Those evening at the Improvs or...
Yeah, but there used to be a ton of...
It was like jury duty. You had... There was the Rosie O'Donnell one. There was Mario Joyner had one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fred, you were on the very last HBO His Young
Attorney.
No, it wasn't the last. That's...
But with David Spade? I mean, that's the biggie for you.
Okay, we'll talk... That's David Albert Pierce, my lawyer.
I was waiting to see if Dr. Fucking Drew would do something that was halfway professional and say who that was. But it turns out it's you, Fred, who has to explain who that voice is, even though you don't co-host the show. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's a...
I spoke my mind in front of Drew. Yeah, just hanging back, letting Fred Stoller set it up. All right. Let's see. Sex with women. His mom. His mom calls him twice a week.
Those
I think I can work
colors.
With this one. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Good point. Line five, Pat. Boston, 26.
Important distinction.
Adam, how you doing?
Doing well. What's happening?
Not much. I'm going to be out in Chicago next week to see your show, so I'm excited about that.
You going to the early show or the late show?
No, the late show. The early show was sold out, but... I figured you'd be lubed up for the second show. It might be a little looser.
Yeah, I will be. And I'll be at Lincoln Park, by the way, at Binny's, if you want to come out and say hi before that. Have a nice bottle of Mangria.
Yeah, I've been actually dying to get some Mangria. They don't ship it up to Vermont or Massachusetts. So
it'll
take a couple bottles.
Hold on a second. It's 2014. Like I told you guys, but I don't know, a year and a half ago, I was talking to some guy on a plane about it, and he's like, "Well, I'm in Massachusetts, so we can't get it because they won't ship it over the internet. They don't, you know, there's laws." But I know a guy in Connecticut, and I can go over there, and it's like, what year is it? What is it? 2014 or isn't it? You know what I mean? Like
I don't understand.
I feel like. On one hand, somebody says, I told you I took my son to see the Endeavor, the space shuttle, and I stood under that motherfucking thing, and I looked at all the ceramic tiles, the heat shields, and the thing, and I just fucking looked at that thing, 178,000 pounds, and the thing's just gliding in from outer space, and it's, you know, it's coming from outer space, and it's going to hit a dot on the map in the middle of the Mojave Desert, and it's not under its own power. It's just gliding the entire way. And he just flares it a little at the end and comes down soft as a pillow, and I think, God damn, and this thing's retired. This is retired. We're done with this. And I'm just staring at the fucking majesty of it. They also had an SR-71 Blackbird, which is a plane, spy plane from the 60s that flies faster than a bullet. And I'm like, fuck, we are technologically advanced. Like, this is insane how flying at Mach 3 plus whatever. Insane the technology involved with this stuff. And then I hear about these laws. There's a nice picture of the SR-71 Blackbird. And I just think, what? Why? Why? The guy who's sitting next to me is a 40-something-year-old adult in first class who wanted a bottle of Mangria, but it's like he had to go to the Connecticut border. He knew a guy or whatever it was. And it's like, why? And then how is it working out in the other 38 states? Just anarchy, just on fire, people running in the street drunk, bashing people over the head with empty bottles. I mean, What's the difference?
Yeah, I'm all for state rights. Like, if the residents of some state decide they don't want this law, or they do want pot, or they don't want this or that, that's fine. But who doesn't want liquor to be able to be allowed to be shipped to your state?
But it's sold there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you're not banning it. You're just putting some bizarre restriction on
and
how to get it.
The people who sell it there might not want it to be sold over the internet.
Oh, there's look, there's somebody's mobbed up. That somebody's not getting paid. Somebody doesn't make – if you ship Mangria to them from Southern California, the
cut.
State's not getting whatever, or whatever union's not getting whatever. But at a certain point, when you get to well more than half the other states are engaged in this thing and it seems to be working out quite nicely, and you can go on the internet in Massachusetts, I'm guessing, and go to Amazon and buy – fill in the blank and they'll ship it to your house – it's the big difference. You can order a fucking pizza. That's not good for you, but you could order a pizza and they would bring it to your house. Like,
it's time for Mangria drone delivery.
Yes, why not? Why not, everybody? But it just bothers me because it's 2014. There's people like, I would like to try it, but I can't because we can't get it in the, you know, or the just the insane in Manhattan, the supermarkets, the Whole Foods sells beer, but it doesn't sell wine. You got to go to the wine store. It's just, I don't know.
Evolve, states.
Please, everybody. Pat, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. And I'm going to pack light so I can bring back at least 8 bottles with me. So we're good there.
Shrewd.
I just want to talk about my mom, who calls me, a couple times a week. I probably only answer one time a week. And she's always asking for, she'll do the thing where she'll do some small talk and ask me how my day has been going. And finally, she gets to the point where she tells me she's got $5 left in her checking account and she could really use the help. And the problem with that is she never did that until I got a good paying job. And I feel like I'm being a crutch for her now, and she's becoming dependent on me to send her money every couple of weeks.
Well, let me ask this. Where's your dad?
Yeah.
Where's your dad?
My dad in Vermont. He's actually raising my sister's 2 kids because she couldn't do it. But they split when I was 12,
mm-hmm.
About 13 years ago.
Yeah, right. And sister not raising her kids is a little... She into drugs or something?
Yeah, she's been a substance abuser for a long time. She ran away from home when she was 14. She's just always kind of been a rebel. And she's got 3 kids with 3 different Mexican fathers.
Uh-huh.
She likes a Mexican for some reason.
That's an important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them are in the picture because they're all pieces of shit. So my dad is...
Just to be clear, not all Mexican dads are pieces of shit. It's about 80%.
No. These three.
Right. That's
3 out of 3 in this sample.
You picked the 3 bad ones. Right.
She's a rebel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, if we take the word rebel and fuck the shit out of it. If you talk about the guys that were fighting like the Revolutionary War and stuff like that.
She's rebelling against sobriety.
Now we got this. We got the stoned whore. She's just to join our ranks like in heaven one day when she ODs. Sorry.
Yeah. So just a quick side note. I mean, she got her kids taken away from her when she was going through a grateful death.
Let me ask you this. I feel like I would be hard-pressed to find 3 Mexicans in Vermont. Did she fuck the only 3 Mexicans in Vermont, or did she import them?
No. She moved into Texas for quite a while.
Uh-huh. Kind of
down there.
Now it's all
Makes
coming
sense.
Together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't swing a gato in Texas without hitting a Mexican.
Or a cat.
Mm-hmm. That's what I
mean. And surprisingly, in Vermont, they actually have a lot of Mexicans working on the farms.
Mm. Salt of the earth. Or at least in the earth, picking out shit. All right.
Yeah.
So family's doing great. And mom is mom just sort of living off whatever?
She's been on disability for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But look at you, man. So, you extricated yourself from that pit. You're gainfully employed. And really, your mom, by the way, you never... The worst thing, we always talk about the thing where, some actor's an asshole when they go, De Niro was great, Redford was great. But, Piven's Piven. He does his own thing. When they say your name twice, you're a dick. right? I think the worst thing you could say about a parent, and if my kids were ever defending me as adults and they went, he did the best he could, I'll fucking kill myself. That is, I don't know why it's the lowest grade you can give to a parent. They did the best. That means they were fucking drunk and absent, whatever.
The person who's saying that has, I think, arrived at that after years of hating your guts. That's and then finally tried to accept you.
And that means the best you could.
Given your limited means.
Given your substance abuse and inability to hold down a job or support your child emotionally, physically, or financially.
It's the worst thing you can say while still technically complimenting. Like, otherwise, it's like, he was a dick, he abandoned me, he was abusive.
Right. So your mom did the best she could, Pat.
Yeah. No, I mean, she's got a heart of gold. She really
does. That's the second. That means a heart of gold, it means a fucking brick where her pocketbook should be. That's what
heart of gold
means. It means no gold around them. It all went to their heart. There's no coins.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever use heart of gold to discuss someone who's acting in a nice, magnanimous way? Or is it only used to describe someone who's acting in a way that would suggest they don't have that?
No, it's when you're explaining that the guy took a camera tripod and went upside your head with it, but then I explain, you know, sometimes because of the drugs and because, you know, he gets a little paranoid, but in his heart, I mean, he's a good guy. He's a heart of, you know, it's always.
He's doing the best he could.
They're describing it's on the heels of something horrible that somebody did, but it's never, heart of gold, it's never, you got any money from them. I'm sure.
Yeah.
No, George Steinbrenner gave out cajillions of dollars over his lifetime. Mm-hmm. No one ever said he had a heart of gold. The less you have, the less you give, and the less people you take care of, the more your heart of gold.
Yeah, you have to be destitute.
Mm-hmm. All right, anyway, she has a heart of gold. She did the best she could. Pat, why don't you, it's the worst, you have a good job. You got Mangria money?
Yeah.
All right. Give her a few bucks. You could be your dad. You could be your sister. You could be one of the three Mexicans that knocked her up. You could be the kids that were the offspring. You could be in a lot of different positions in this family.
Practical piece of advice, Pat. If you suspect the money you're giving her is being used for cigarettes and alcohol, offer to put her electrical bill on your credit card for auto payment. And that way you're like, oh, I'm just paying your whatever, $20 a month, whatever you're paying for electrical. Mm-hmm. And then once you're not hitting up for money, you're paying for it and never have the discussion again.
Smash cut to white trash neighbor plugging an extension cord into her entry hall and then handing a carton of cigarettes. Tour. Oh, yes.
Is that how it works?
Oh, you've not been on the fucking mean streets of, hold on. Where's she from?
She's in Tampa, Florida right now.
The mean streets of Tampa. On the wrong side of the canal.
That's right.
All right, let's see. Kids, we got to be fast here. We're going to get our guests waiting here. Let's see. Matthew? Did I talk to Matthew already?
No.
Real fast. Yep. What do you got?
Am I here?
Yeah.
Hello?
Here we go.
Hey, so I'm on now. Is that right?
LifeLock, baby. Identity thieves. They're shrewd. They target your checking, your savings accounts, and take your cash for your retirement, Matthew.
Yes.
Man.
That's horrible.
It's horrible, man. You can't fight identity theft alone. You need to protect your accounts. You got credit cards, Matthew?
I sure do.
You got an ATM?
Yes.
Are you looking toward your future?
Yeah.
You have an eye on your future or eyes? Because most people just have an eye toward the future. With one eye.
One eye? Do,
they
but
never
twice
say which one.
Obviously better.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you shut the other eye, it's like you're drunk. LifeLock Ultimate, most comprehensive ID theft protection ever created. Matthew, if you don't already have LifeLock, I would be lying to you if I was kidding with you by telling you to not do it. Okay?
All right.
Yeah. You should be a spokesperson for LifeLock. Guards your identity and your credit. Even monitors your bank accounts for takeover fraud. Dawson,
LifeLock Services can't protect you or your bank accounts. If you're not a member, visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam. Or call and use promo code Adam for a special 10% discount. That's promo code Adam. To get a special 10% discount, call 800-496-5030. 800-496-5030. 800-496-5030. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
Matthew, real quick, what's the problem?
So here's the thing. Like, I feel like a normal person, but just like I'm a dude who's 31, and I never had sex with a woman until I was 29. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like statistically off. I feel like I have problems with women. I have six older sisters, which I feel like it sort of shaped my mind in a certain way. The reason I called it a Mr. Brightside is just, you know, it wasn't until 29 when I had my first.
Was she a great big fat person?
God, the middle sister was kind enough to toss him a bone.
Oh, God.
That was a confidence builder. There's nothing sexual about it. It was sex, but it wasn't sexual. You know what I'm saying.
Pure mechanical.
You can turn off that way, Allison. Hey, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Well, you live in Chicago. That's a great goddamn town.
Yeah.
All right. We got that. You're gainfully employed.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
That's tough because I'm in a family business. It's rich man, poor man, and sometimes.
All right, but
sometimes I feel the other.
You know, here's the thing. I can only feel so sorry for youngish single dudes living in a nice major metropolis with the advent of the computer because. You either have 500,000 dating sites, mm-hmm. or you have a billion hours of porn.
Yep.
Or you have both. Back in the day, that part where guys used to go, I'm just not good at the bar scene. I'm shy, and I'm good once I get to know somebody, but I don't have an opening line, and I'm just, you know, I understood that part. And now with the computer, it's all out the window. You can meet anybody. There's probably a million dating sites for people who don't like dating or shy or can't handle that.
You can be
that
dating
scene.
While you're fucking your ex-wife's slipper.
That's right. And watching you jizz or you porn or whatever you do. So no more. I can't feel sorry for anyone. If you have a computer and you're single and you're living in Chicago, I can no longer feel sorry for you. All right. Last call. And then we go to break. John.
Yep.
29.
Mr. Brightside, I got a question for you. Be positive.
All right, I shall.
I got an 8-year-old daughter who's kind of starting to become self-aware, and her mom is now pregnant with her third child from her third child's father. Mm-hmm. And I'm like freaked out that my kid's going to end up being like taking a. Taking
you have an 8-year-old daughter, you're divorced?
The one he had the kid with is now with her third man.
Oh. Yeah.
Yep. She's on her third man. My daughter's 8. She's averaging a kid every 3 years.
Are you number one?
Yes. Oof. My daughter's the sunny type. She's real sweet and bright and nice, and she's starting to become self-aware. You know, like, she can kind of tell there's nuance between her and her mom where we don't get along, but I don't ever say anything bad about her. Her mom says bad stuff about me, but the problem is that she's pregnant again for the third time.
Yeah, all right. So she got a little white trash going in her.
Big time. I don't want it going on to my daughter. Give me some bright side.
Well, look, you're calling in, and I always say, just the fact that you're concerned, the fact you're thinking about it. You know, I mean, bad parents think they're good parents and never really think about it, and then they hide behind this bullshit where they go, "Hey, man, I love my kid. Don't you tell me I don't love him," as I'm putting cigarettes out on him. Like, I love him. No, I love him to death. Yeah, but you don't do shit for him, and you're a horrible example for he or she. The fact that you're calling, the fact that you're concerned, that's all. All daughters, I really do think daughters, when it comes to the men, they don't look to mama, they'll look to daddy. And this is the bright side. Mom has a bigger influence over the child's life. And I believe a bigger influence, boy or girl, just plays a bigger role in the child's life. I play, for instance, in my relationship with my kids,
I play a big role too, but part of that role is going to fucking Chicago and doing two shows and then coming home with a sack of money so that they can live in the house they're living in. But they don't know that.
Pay you in a sack?
That's right.
A dollar sign on it.
All they know is that I dress like the Monopoly man, wear spats and a mustache. No. All my kids know is they're home one more weekend with mama and bonding with mama. Daddy's gone. They don't know. They know daddy's going, he's working, but they're not bonding with me. I'm going and bringing money back to the nest so they can have heat in their nest and food in the cabinets of their nest. So ultimately, the mom has the bond. In terms of now, at some point, the kids get a little older and they appreciate the dad who goes out and works, and you coach the soccer team on the weekends, as discussed. But the daughter will look at the dad as a sort of template for man. The son, not so much with the mom, but the daughter will look at that. And thus, all the thousands of women who were married to alcoholics, first question, was your dad an alcoholic? Yes. It was always sort of the guy's abusive. Was your dad abusive? Well, there's the negative end and then there's the positive end. So even though this chick is getting pregnant and this ex is not a great example, daughters I have found will not emulate, but look to emulate the behavior of the dad. And at some point, she'll be saying to her very grounded, non-abusive, highly educated, and but a little male pattern baldness, boyfriend.
Questionable sexuality.
Right. When she's 28, my mom's kind of a nutty broad, but my dad was real solid. And that will influence her decision making as an adult. So there you go. And by the way, all the guys out there that are abandoning their daughters or being abusive or whatever, the fucking chickens will come home to roost on your ass. You will have a fucking handful waiting for you in her adult years. You will be raising the kid she is not capable of raising because of her substance abuse issues and the bad choices she's made with men and so
she's
on and
rebellious.
So forth. Yes, she's a rebel. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. You guys see the Book of Mormon?
Was it? You want to hear the outro?
We got. Oh, I always forget about that.
Feel better? Good. Thank you, Mr. Brightside.
David Larson, Cody Jameson Strand, both here from the Book of Mormon. I've not seen the Book of Mormon.
I am dying to see it.
I have tickets for Valentine's Day. It was my Christmas present to Christy, one of them, and we're going to see it on Valentine's Day.
I've not. You know, there are plays, there's art, there's movies, there's songs, there's what have you that people go, like Dr. Drew saw it a million years ago and was like, oh my God, it is the best. And then there's always that part, that second wave, I don't know, it's that kind of Wolf of Wall Street thing where then the second wave of people like, overrated. Never had that with the Book of Mormon. Just every human being I talk to just goes, this the best piece of art to come down the pike in the last 20 years. We'll take a quick break. Talk to them next.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, never mind pop tops, never mind twist off caps, I tell you how I used to open my dad's beer cans with a church key. Did I ever take any for me? What do you think? Listen for free through iTunes or visit LarryMillerPodcast.com. We'll see you here.
Yeah. David Larson, Cody Jameson Strand, both here. Book of Mormon. You guys have heard about this. How do you get involved with the coolest thing that's going currently? By the way, 8 additional weeks by popular demand coming to the back to the Hollywood Pantages Theater. Nice venue. Thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
One little beef with the Pantages.
Bring it.
They have the place holds, what's the capacity of that place?
Not big enough, because they, for this show.
mean, there must be, so we'll figure out, I don't know, 1,500
something
people.
Something like that, yeah.
So maybe it's 2,000. I it's a decent, it's
I think
really.
It's closer to 3,000.
Oh, it's a, yeah, probably. It's a yeah. beautiful, oh, there's a whole, there's a balcony, right?
Balcony,
yeah, you guys could see it from
sure.
from stage. You play out to it. There, it's a beautiful theater, and then during intermission, there's a bar on one side and a bar on the other, and one old bartender that moves like a fucking donkey that's been fed like an ether drip, and then the other, and everyone lines up. So there's sure. a line of 85 people on the right side and 85 people on the left side, and then when you get to the front of the bar, they're flipping the lights on and off in the lobby,
sure.
and then you buy you and your wife a drink of wine, and then you can't find your wife because she went to go use the bathroom, but you'll see her back at the seats, so you start heading to the seats, and then they go, you can't go in with the wine, and now each wine costs $12. They ain't going in throwing that away, so yeah. you fucking shotgun them. Thank God I wear my batting helmet with the you know wine glasses, the adult batting helmet. But, like, why... In every venue I go to, it's always the same. Like, just get another bar. Could you get another bartender? Is that a union thing? You guys go out and drink at intermission? What's going on?
You need to invent that, like a straw that goes down your arm. So, you know, you're talking to people. You put your arm around them and their straw goes into their drink as you're waiting in line.
That's smart.
Then you're drunk by the time you get up there and you order even more. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, we call it the, it's not the camelback, call it the elephant arm.
Yeah,
just drop it on it. It's 2,700 seats, by the way.
There you go.
How many shows? What's the schedule for you guys on a normal week?
It's six nights a week and eight shows within those six nights.
So there'll be some matinees.
Yeah,
on
usually
the
Saturday and Sunday, it's two shows a day.
Is it, hard to get up for those two show days after doing it for a year or whatever? I mean, is it like you go, oh man, I gotta, this is gonna be, this is double. Look, not that you don't like it, just,
no,
but
no,
a certain,
it's,
what I'm trying to prove to everyone is eventually everything becomes, eventually fucking Claudia Schiffer becomes work.
Sure.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Prove it.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to get to the bottom of it, but I'm
well, you know, you have to, you really, some of those days, you really have to make sure you wake up and get moving because otherwise doing two shows in that day is going to be a struggle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how did the audition go? And I could only imagine how many human beings wanted to be part of this and how many people you had to beat out or how many friends your dad had to have.
And also
two. Yes.
What sort – I know people don't want to give anything away, but mm-hmm. just for people who don't know, what is the show about basically? Like, if you were to put it in a couple sentences.
Two Mormons go on a mission to Africa.
And then it
That's
gets scatological
about.
After that.
Yeah.
But, and what – so how's the audition – I mean, how many guys you got to beat out? I mean, how long is the process? And then what do? Do you pick out a song from the show?
Well, my audition process actually was only about 2 weeks. You know, it was mm-hmm. very, very fast. But there were a lot of guys that I saw that looked just like me, you know, mm-hmm. coming in and out of the room. And that was a little scary. But usually it was material from the show that you auditioned with.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I went in once. Fortunately, I got there to the audition. The director comes out and goes, so, you know, don't worry about it, but everybody's here. And that was my first time going in, 10:30 in the morning, trying to sing this music. And so I was like, well,
everyone's here, meaning like Matt and Trey are here?
From Scott Rudin on down, Matt and Trey, yeah, everybody.
Well, I guess ultimately they would need, it's a pretty important decision yeah. that they would need to sign off on.
Absolutely.
They would want to probably not yeah. do like a video chat on that one. Be there.
Skype that shit.
Yeah.
It's a big show. It's yeah. a big show.
And then for you guys, where do you go from here? Like once you're done with the Pantages, how many current versions of Book of Mormon are out there right now? There's something going on Broadway, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something going on in Los Angeles. There's something yeah. going on in Chicago and Boston or Philly or...
Well, there's three shows in the United States happening right now. The Broadway show and then there's two national tours happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the second national tour. And then there's also one in London.
Is there a rivalry?
Not the second rate. It's
no,
it's just the second one out.
And yeah. what will you guys...
they got it right with this one.
That's yeah. right.
When you're done with the Pantages run, then you'll head to...
We head south from here down to Costa Mesa for a couple weeks, San Diego for a couple weeks, Vegas for a month, then up to Portland, Seattle, Spokane, Minneapolis.
Spokane.
And are you there for a few weeks each time?
Yeah, anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And is it sort of comforting knowing that you have all this material in your back pocket and you just know it?
Yeah.
Frontwards and backwards? Or does it become tedious? Like, oh, man, let's mix it up. You know what I mean? I mean, not that you're going to, but I've always thought a lot of people are like, oh, it's so fun, you get to improvise. And it's like, yeah, but I mean, you got to think about shit all the time. Right, and then there's singing all the greatest hits, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would say we improvise by looks in our eyes and inflections within the words that we have to work with. So,
that's boring.
It's the rules of the game, you know? Yeah. It's like you don't get 4 strikes. You only get 3. So you got to play within 3 strikes.
Are there any points where you go, and I think it would naturally happen where you would become really, really familiar with the material, and in a weird way, more so than the writers and creators of the material, because even though they created it and they wrote it, they're not out there performing it, where you go, here's a moment that I think should be flipped around or tweaked or... this should be injected into it. Now, you're not going to just go cowboy and do it out on stage. But is there any mechanism? And I would imagine Matt Trey would welcome this. Yeah, where you go like, what if instead of doing this first, you do it second? Or you flip the order or something like that. Is there...
Well, we're seeing Trey again on Wednesday, and I'll say, you know, Adam Carolla said we should, swap this up from time to time.
Well, I mean, he can always just go, no, I disagree. But as somebody who's written a lot of stuff for a lot of people, they're going, well, what if we did this first and did that second? I think it would work better. I'll go. If it seems better, I'll just go, yeah.
And it's coming from the person who reads the lines, you know, or sings the songs. They probably would have firsthand knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I would let it be their idea. To do something like, you know, make it, let it come from them.
No thoughts on it. No, you're not going to get fired, are you?
No, I'm not going to get fired.
I've now have worked with all 3 American companies, and in seeing the different characters playing, or people playing the role that I play, there are actually quite a bit of...
It fluctuates a bit.
Individual variations.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, just within... That you could go, it works. This you could almost cherry pick and go, the way I do this one scene's working better, but the way that guy does the other scene works a little better. So we're just going to use the all star.
That happens all the time.
Yeah. Even different choreography for the different.
Yeah.
All right. So that's sort of a version of what I'm talking about, just the repetition and finding the moments out there.
Yeah. Is there any plans for the show to go to Utah? That'd be interesting, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be a great idea, actually.
I think so, too. I imagine the local population is very mixed on the on the idea, but I'm sure some people would be really in favor of it.
I think so. You know, if you can't poke fun of it yourself, who can you poke fun at?
It'd be a nice change of pace running Serpentine back to the hotel every night. You know what I mean? Occasionally diving behind a dumpster or a park bench.
No, bulletproof windows are a great idea.
Let's do a little news. Let me give a little love to one of our fine sponsors, eVoys, baby. Oh, yeah. You're a business owner. You don't have the money for the automated phone system, secretaries and all that stuff, the budget. No, you don't need that. You got eVoys. You make more money in 2014. Use that eVoys. Whether you're a business or just somebody wants to seem like you know your business, you use eVoys. It can help you manage your incoming calls. Call routing tools, professional dial by name directory. Makes your business sound like $1 million. Right now, only for my listeners, a 30-day free trial. $5 off every month forever. That's right. It's a long, long time. Just go to eVoys.com. Enter the promo code Adam at checkout. Take charge of your business. Make more money in 2014. Remember, your free trial and $5 off every month forever. eVoice.com. Enter the promo code Adam. Allison Rosen, what's happening, baby?
The news with Allison Rosen. She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's
Allison, Allison.
And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's
Allison, Allison.
So Obama gave an interview with David Remnick in The New Yorker, and he said that he thinks that marijuana is no more dangerous than alcohol. He said, as has been well documented, I smoked pot as a kid, and I view it as a bad habit and a vice, not very different from the cigarettes that I smoked as a young person up through a big chunk of my adult life. I don't think it is more dangerous than alcohol. He said that it was actually less dangerous than alcohol, quote, in terms of its impact on the individual consumer. But, you know, he went on to say that he doesn't think his kids should smoke pot and said some negative things about it. But he said, we should not be locking up kids or individual users for long stretches of jail time when some of the folks who are writing these laws have probably done the same thing.
Absolutely. Well, we have a big fundamental problem, which is we have something called alcohol, which is worse than almost everything that's completely legal and sold at every stadium and raised at every wedding. In the form of a toast. So it's hard when alcohol is that thing that's on every corner and such a part of this country's fabric and part of every country's fabric who can figure out how to fuck to make it, even parts of some prison's fabric. It's called Pruno. I mean, everyone who can get their hold, get a hand on alcohol, gets their hands and lips on alcohol. And then there's a few of these countries that don't. Then they're all piles of shit, by the way.
Yeah.
It's ironic that you take the places and some of the Middle Eastern countries and stuff, and you remove the booze, and all they do is shoot each other or stab each other with pitchforks.
Drunk people.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, right?
Well, listen.
Yes.
You may say alcohol is evil. I focus on the handful of lands and countries where it's not permitted to be used. Tell me how it's working out. All right.
Well, so then he just sort of mused, well, what would happen if people could come up with, you know, a negotiated dose of cocaine that we can show is not any more harmful than vodka. Are we open to that? If somebody says we've got a finely calibrated dose of meth, it isn't going to kill you or rot your teeth. Are we okay with that?
That's what he says.
Yeah. He's just
he's
asking
right.
out loud. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a couple of things. First off, I have to explain all the time. Pot is not your grandpa's pot. They show a pot leaf. It's not a leaf. It's purple. It's got red pube hairs on it. It's sticky, and it'll fuck your shit up. Like, it is. Scientists got involved with the pot game at a certain point, and they started taking these things and making hybrids and crossbreeding. And
that's all I ever smoked because the idea that. Oh, pot, it's nothing. It just takes the edge off. Like, that has never been my experience. My experience has been you take a bong hit, you cough, and then you hallucinate.
The stuff that they have now, the hydroponic super seed where they throw out all the stuff that's not blowing your mind and just grow it and it hangs upside down in some cave somewhere, that stuff will fuck your shit up. So we all understand the difference between drinking a beer and mezcal and laudanum. I don't know.
I'm digging deep.
Absinthe. You know, I mean, it's not like, well, hey, just booze is booze. Like, no. If a guy says, I have a glass of wine with dinner, I have a beer, but I drink a bottle of absinthe every night, well, we got a serious problem here, you know?
Laudanum.
All right.
What is that, like liquid heroin?
The drink of the old West.
I don't.
Laudanum.
I think it goes deeper than that. Now we got to find out what's in laudanum. Point is this. Today's weed is not the harmless kind of reefer madness, you know, bunch of dried up leaves in a paper, like with, you know, the guy with the VW van is handing it out. It'll fuck your shit up. So I've said this to Dr. Drew a million times. It's comprised, we'll tell you what laudanum is. Anyway, 10% opium. Here's the deal.
Well, I guess I was right.
Here's what I said, and 1% morphine. Jeez.
Wow.
See if they got it at the Vendo or Cost Plus or something. I want to get hold of some of that laudanum.
I'm on it.
And give me a skull and a cape while you're at it.
No problem, boss.
It's not the good laudanum, though.
Give me
it's
cover of the Raven.
Clearly.
Not the, you know, just the beats, the broad strokes. I don't need the whole Raven.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I know we quoted The Raven.
Yeah, I need all of it. Right. Yeah, just the broad strokes.
Et cetera,
yeah.
Et cetera.
Mm-hmm. All right. I feel this way about pot. I was telling Dr. Drew this the other day. I drink alcohol on a daily basis, but it's on a nightly basis. There's no such thing, unless we're traveling or it's a weekend or football season.
Or a soccer game.
Or the kids are off at school or whatever. Well, I'll have a beer before noon.
In those, unless it's that rare instance.
Instances. Right.
When you're traveling, which
no,
is every weekend.
I know my schedule back in the
traveling
day,
downstairs.
And now it's not that much different now, is I would go the whole day. I'd do Loveline at night. I'd come home at 12:30 at night, and I'd pour myself a glass of wine. The people that smoke weed don't stay to that schedule is the problem. They get up in the morning, and they have a bong load, and then they go drive their car into work. And then at some point during the course of their work day, they walk out in the parking lot, and they blow a spleef. And then when they're done sucking off spleefs, a coworker, then they'll have another hit off the bong load. But it goes on all day. So what I say to Drew is, yeah, weed and booze, they're not inherently more whatever. But if I showed up and had a shot of brandy at 9 a.m. and then sort of went to work and then was sort of nipping at a flask at lunchtime, then you'd go, hey, somebody's got a problem. And you're driving your car in and out and you're at work.
Right now, you're drinking beer.
Oh, shit. It's dark out, isn't it?
That's a good point.
Dawson's got one, and he's high.
That's right.
That's your yardstick?
It's more of a tard stick, but it's a yardstick with a carb in the middle of it, and it's hollow. You know what I'm saying? So people smoke all day, I think, is kind of the problem. Like, I would say with the weed, I would not have an issue with it at all if people did that. I get up, I go to work, I take care of business, and then that night when I come home, I turn on SportsCenter and I light a joint.
Do you think
I unwind.
Decriminalizing it might create more people who treat it that way?
I've said this a million times. There's some people that smoke weed. There's some people that don't smoke weed. There's Dawson, who's actually eating handfuls of weed from a garbage bag right now.
True, 100% true.
And then there's Brian. He doesn't smoke weed. I don't smoke weed. I'm fine with it. I'll do it on occasion. I'm not really judging or against it. It's just not my scene. But my dad doesn't smoke weed. Dawson smokes weed. We all have friends who smoke weed. We all have friends that don't smoke weed. We have friends like my buddy Ray who should smoke weed, but instead he chooses to drink. Who do we know amongst all the people that we can think of that smoke copious amounts of weed or never smoke weed are going to change their mind based on whether this thing is legal and available and sold, you know, over the counter at the corner, whatever, and taxed and whatever, or you have to go down to the park with Dawson and get the weed? Who? What? This is my whole thing in life. When I see the fucking click it or ticket banner on the electric freeway sign, I go, what percentage of people aren't wearing a seatbelt right now? And then what percentage are going to be moved to put on their seatbelt? Oh, yeah, I didn't get the gong that was going on in my car constantly. That wasn't enough. The placard that was lit up and flashing, that wasn't enough. Now, what percentage of people are we really talking about? If pot was legal and free tomorrow, would you start smoking it?
That'd be a great addendum to the law, though. It's legal, but you have to go down to the park with Dawson to get it.
Yeah. Would you start smoking it tomorrow if it was free or just legal? You just go to the corner and buy it.
No, but I'm not interested either
not
way.
Not interested.
Yeah.
All right. I don't drink grape soda. I don't.
Oh, you're missing out, bro.
I don't have a problem with it. It's legal. It's around.
For me, it's waking grape.
Well, but honestly, good one. Go to any supermarket or convenience store and walk past all of the things that aren't for you. They got the porno section with the porno mags over there. Some will sell cigars and things like that. Behind the guy will be an array of puzzles and slushies and Lowrider magazine and whatever the fuck else. You just walk past it. You go to the back. You grab your fucking Snapple or whatever you want, whatever you want in there to buy. And you don't ever sit there and go, man, the Clamato's winking at me. Shit. That's available? I could buy that, walk out of there and drink in the parking lot, right? No, you just, you don't want it. It's not your thing. So if it ever stopped anybody you knew or vice versa, there's nobody I know who's been sitting around, or I shouldn't same argument, but there's no one I know who's been sitting around poised to smoke weed, waiting for the government to give them the thumbs up so that they could finally try marijuana. And I don't think it's the other way around either.
I agree with you. Me and my friends, when we were talking about the legalization of marijuana, we were out wondering how it was going to change our lives. And we're like, wait a minute. Do you have any problem getting or smoking pot now? No.
No, no, nobody I've ever met for the last 20 years who smoked pot had a problem getting pot because they got pot every single day. I'll take it a step further. I believe that if you're a land owner and you pay taxes on that land, the same right you would have to grow Roma tomatoes in your backyard, the same right you'd have to grow a fucking pot plant in the backyard. It's your land.
That's how we kill the cartels.
That's how you kill it. They're right. Now, if you want to take
throw tomatoes?
Yes. You throw tomatoes at them.
Yes.
No, if you want to grow your Roma tomatoes and then go out to the curb and go, I'm selling Roma tomatoes, I do believe the government then, I don't really want them getting involved, but they have the right then to go, we don't know if those are clean. We don't know how they were processed. You're not paying taxes on them. Like, okay, we got to get involved with this. But if you just want to grow your own Roma tomatoes to put in your own salad as a homeowner, that's fine. You can't run down the street throwing them at people, and you can't sell them. And the same way, and I agree, put the Mexican drug cartels out of business. Just let everyone who has land grow pot plant, or even if you have an apartment, grow pot plant. If you then distribute it or sell it or attempt to sell it, like anything else, the man will have to get involved.
What do you guys think? Where are you with this one?
We just got down here from San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And you have
no weed up there.
Three smells when you walk through San Francisco.
Patchouli.
Patchouli, weed, and weed. The three.
Wow. So, weed and weed. Yeah, just.
I'll tell you what, they were great audiences because they were probably 75% high seeing the show.
And when has the government ever really been successful at doing anything in terms of leading people a direction they didn't want to go? You know what I mean? People want to get high. They want to get altered. Some people want to have a glass of wine. Some people want a bong load. Let's understand that and then move forward. Okay, so we understand that this is going to be a part of people's lives. They're going to participate in this activity. So let's figure out a way to tax it. Let's figure out a way to make it safe. Let's put laws on the book that says, look, if you're driving drunk, you're going to get a problem. And if you're driving altered or impaired with marijuana, there's going to be an issue. But if you like to do it in the privacy and safety of your own home, then that's your business. That's kind of what the country's about, isn't it?
But if they – are you in favor of legalizing the other drugs?
I am in the sense that I do feel like people will get the people that want to do coke will get their hands on coke, and the money instead will go to either goes to Al Qaeda or goes to the cartels that, you know, put the heads in the duffel bags, and we don't see we don't get a nickel worth of tax revenue on it. You know, we'd have the whole vice tax thing on it. And then it's been stepped on with baby laxative or whatever the fuck's been put in there anyway. So I would like to raise my kids. I'll put it to you this way. I have twins or triplets. I can't remember. I've had a half a beer now.
Two. You have two of them.
Two beers?
Twins. Children.
Yeah,
you have two
twins.
Children. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. And I would never rely on the government keeping drugs and or anything that was bad away from them. That's never going to work. Is that ever going to work? I'm not going to rely on the government. You're the worst parent in the world if you go, I'm going to let the government take care of your health care. I'm going to let them provide for you. I'm going to let them provide for your future. You can retire with them, and they'll be in charge of whether you are an alcoholic or a pothead or a junkie. Don't worry. The government's going to handle it. They fuck everything up they touch. So as a parent, I'm going to explain to them, there's daddy's medicine. You can find it at stores called the Liquor Store. It's on every corner. It'll be at every frat sorority party you go to. There may be cocaine. There may be marijuana. There may be all these things. Is it going to kill you? No. Can you try it? I can't stop you from trying it. If you want to make a life out of it, it's going to be a difficult life. And it'll be up to me and my trophy wife to really shape them. It'll be up to me and Lynette to prepare them for that. But it'll be the same way I'll try to prepare them. Every fucking time I pass an In-N-Out burger, I want to pull in and just grab a double-double. Like, I just do. It's that good. But you go, geez, but you can't do that. You can do it, once in a while, but you can't just do it all day, every day.
Imagine if that In-N-Out burger was made of heroin.
Oh.
How badly you'd want to pull off the road then.
I don't know if it could get any higher than what it is now.
Any more addictive?
Yeah. Yeah, you go with the Edgar Allan Poe. That's Exeter Loudnum. But that's...
Wow, second Poe reference in this podcast.
No, I mean, you got to drop the... They know what you're talking about. It's like animal style. Yeah, Raven style.
Keep going. I may have to bring up Alan Parsons.
Dawson's on a roll. Yeah, look, when has it ever worked? When's the prohibition ever really worked?
Yeah, never.
And I understand the, as a government... We go, well, we don't want to condone. Well, there's a lot of stuff out there that is accessible, legal, that we don't want our kids doing. It's just out there.
I mean, I think whether we're talking about making something illegal or talking about taking something that's illegal and decriminalizing it, you just have to look at what are we doing right now and is it working? And having the drugs be illegal, that's not working.
Yeah, how's it worked? It doesn't work. The prisons are filled with it just doesn't work. So it didn't. I think sociologists will study this little span of 100 years and go, what the fuck were they thinking? Because we tried prohibition and we got Al Capone and the Kennedys. So now what? Yeah, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. Certain people got rich. And other people made it in their bathtub. That's what it created. All right. Let's do another one.
Well, I'd be remiss if I did not mention that one of the co-creators of Facts of Life, a show important, near and dear to all of our hearts, but mostly mine, died. He was 92. His name was Ben Starr. He also was a co-creator of Silver Spoons. And he wrote for a bunch of stuff. He wrote for All in the Family, Different Strokes, Mr. Ed, The Andy Griffith Show, Petticoat Junction, your favorite, The Brady Bunch, Chico and the Man.
Yeah.
Quite a prolific guy.
Fucking Brady Bunch. Most overrated piece of shit. I can't think of something that was worse that was seen by more
so
human
beloved.
Beings. And woven into the fabric when it was such a creative just piece of shit.
I have
Are you going to sit by and take this?
I have no nostalgia for these old shows. Were any of them good?
Ironically, The Partridge Family was not bad, but it's never played in syndication.
Mm-mm.
Well, a lot of those shows, as you watch them today, don't hold up to today's comedy, I guess. Right?
Whoops.
I
mean, there's nothing about it. There's not even comedy. There's almost zero comedy there. But you remember every episode.
Sure, yeah.
But it was insane. It's like we're in prison. And we had nothing else to watch. Like, we were like, oh, yeah, we all remember Marcia getting hit in the nose with the football. And then she had a big night, big prom night or whatever. And it was like, that's so fucking thin. It was so bad. Everything about it was bad.
What was the name of the song that Greg sang?
It's Johnny Bravo?
I think so. Rainbows.
Well, they came together as the Silver Platters.
It sounds boring as hell, but go ahead.
Wait a minute, who is that?
It sounds boring as hell, but go ahead.
Robert Blake. Not on this show, but Robert Blake.
Oh, that is Blake, yeah.
Remember someone wanted
to that is on this show.
But no, he wasn't a guest on the show.
No, that's... Oh!
It was from someone
from
in the news.
From his Piers Morgan interview.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Piers Morgan, right. They had the episode where they wanted to buy their parents an engraved silver platter for their 10-year anniversary, and they called themselves the Silver Platters.
Yes.
And they sung, We're going to have to figure out the...
Keep on dancing
all through the night.
Wow.
Got to keep on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that shit, but whatever. I mean, I know the keep on part, but, you know, that's the heterosexual part of the song. But doing it right. There's like keep on moving, keep on grooving. Like, it's like what you'd write on a napkin at your high school or junior high cafeteria. Like, it's
dude,
keep on...
are you gay?
We're going to sing that song. Yeah. You know the words.
I know.
I don't know Johnny Bravo's. I don't know Johnny. That was when Greg stepped out from the silver platters to go do his old thing. Find that song, me and David are singing it.
It's a sunshine day, I think, is what I was thinking
of. It's a sunshine day, yeah. That was a lot of,
sunshine
that had a lot of,
day,
everyone's day, sunshine day. Right, that had a lot of Sesame Street to it, like sort of opening to the Sesame mm-hmm. Street. Oh, yeah, a couple of hits. You know, I think I've turned the corner on these kids. There's a lot of talent there. Yeah, and Peter's voice was changing. He had...
Yes.
Yeah. Either... David, we'll just do the part where we...
Take a while to get there.
I can wait. Here we go. Gotta keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on dancing on through the night. Gotta keep on, keep on, keep on doing it right. Gotta keep on, keep on, keep on moving. Gotta keep on, keep on, keep on grooving. That's all I got. Yeah, that's a hit.
Awful lot of honkies in here.
Yeah. Peter's voice.
Can we expect this kind of musical merriment in Book of Mormon?
Just about.
As I recall, Peter's voice was screwed up because he got a bad load. When he was,
is that the story line?
The producer. That's how I read it. I could have been puberty. I thought he was sucking off a producer to get the gig.
That was the subtext.
That's what I thought. But you know, when you're young, sometimes your imagination. Anyway, his voice was cracking. So because he was hitting puberty, and so he couldn't hit the keep on.
What do you think's worse for puberty, voice cracking or acne?
Acne, I think. Although today, no excuse, right? They got all the antibiotics and all those commercials.
Is that safe for
young
kids, though, like 12, 13, puberty? Or is that for like teenagers? I'm just talking out loud.
Safer than
the
water, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a good point. West Virginia.
And at Sunshine Day. And...
Just a bit of trivia. Do you remember the name of the act that won first place in this contest?
Oh, I know we brought it up earlier. Is it Limp Bizkit?
No. Patty's Prancing Poodles.
It was.
Well, a dog act.
Every fifth episode from every shitty show from the 70s, they needed some money, and then there was a talent show. By the way, I don't know where these talent shows. And the grand prize is whatever this they need to get whatever they their amount of money.
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas had a talent show. For anyone who gets that, they'll know what I'm talking about.
Who? Yeah, and so they would go, well, you got to enter the talent show, and then that was the entire episode. But what are these non-school related talent shows? Have you guys come across many of these?
Does the city put them on? I've never, ever.
Like, have you ever been down to the local library and went, oh, I'm sorry, we got the talent show on tonight, random talent show tonight.
Stephen Keaton is hosting. No,
right.
Never.
No, doesn't exist. All right, where the hell were we? Ah, LegalZoom, baby. These guys are talented. They should be in a show. You want to get your life organized? Start a business, whatever you like. LegalZoom.com. Get organized. Last will and the testament there. Living trust. Protect your assets, your family. Get a little something called peace of mind. Now, if I was doing a talent show, I would sing that Boston song, Peace of Mind. Ooh. Start a business. LegalZoom can help you launch your dreams. Save a ton of money and time. They've helped start over a million businesses. By the way, they earned an A+ from the Better Business Bureau. So they got to be good. LegalZoom's step-by-step process was created by a team of experts in law and technology. Dawson.
LegalZoom is not a law firm, but can connect you with a third-party attorney and provide you with self-help services. For special savings, enter Adam in the referral box at checkout. Please don't let another month go by before you take care of these things for your family and business. From wills to business formation, trademark applications, powers of attorney, and even bankruptcy help, go to LegalZoom.com.
Nice job. All right, let's bring it home, Logo.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Tip it, cunts. Vaginas correlate to hate.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
If you I'm not done with the fucking Brady Bunch. If you want to know, you know, well, maybe you're being a little harsh about something. Whatever act, acting, musical act, whatever we're talking about, sitcom, whatever it is. Maybe a little harsh on these guys. Maybe they were a little talented, a little better than you. Okay. Riddle me this. Has anyone from that show went on to do any fucking thing? Anything? Sherwood Shorts created the show. Thank God he's gone. He can't do any more damage to our society. But did he go on to create? Oh, yeah. No, he went on and did Breaking Bad. Like, there's nothing Sherwood Schwartz ever did that you went, well, you got to admit that was pretty good that he went on and did 10 years after. No one's done. He done, oh, the Brady Bunch are going to play the guys from Gilligan's Island, and the Harlem Globetrotters are going to play the robots in a basketball game. Like, that's what he did is take shit from his past and cobble it together and put them on the same island, all that kind of shit. But he never went on to do anything. No cast member.
Just the surreal life.
Went on, right, to do a thing. Nobody's, there's no Johnny Depp of that cast. There's no anybody. So that's how you know it was a pile of shit. Thank you. And may you rest in peace, Sherwood. All right. Book of Mormon. It's returning for 8 additional weeks by popular demand at the Hollywood Pantages Theater. And you can see September 5th. That's the original show dates. And so wait a minute. What does this mean? Original Pantages show dates.
In 2012, it was here. And then now it's coming back.
Yeah.
Ah, I'm sorry. There you go. Were you guys here in 2012?
Not
screw those guys. Yeah. B team. Yeah. You don't need them. Probably cast of the Brady Bunch in there somewhere.
There might be somewhere in there.
Yeah, I know Susan. I think I saw Susan Olsen in there. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure I did. I think I did. So the new and improved. That's right. David, where do we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DLarson22.
Cody?
I'm on Twitter also as Cody Cobbler.
And Cobbler. You can check them out on Twitter. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for David and Cody and Allison and Bald saying mahalo. What if I got cramps? What if I had a period?
For calling times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Like Ace on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Live podcast coming up in Buffalo February 1st. Treasure Island in Las Vegas February 21st. Adam's solo show in Detroit. Still tickets at the Motor City Casino on the 30th. Tickets and info on all live podcasts, stand-up, Mangria events, and more. Visit AdamCarolla.com.